The word submit, and the other word that's very unpopular, especially with men, surrender. You must submit yourself to God's will. You must surrender your life to God's plan and God's purpose.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day and welcome. Well, let's get right into the study and join Pastor Bill as he continues a series of the New Testament book of Revelation with the conclusion to the message, Chaos or Control.
I didn't say a happy year. I didn't say an enjoyable year. I did not say a pain-free year. I did not say a year without tribulation or warfare or sickness or trials nor heartache. Although I do believe that all things work together for good. Amen? Romans 8:28. To those who know the Lord and who are the called according to his purpose. Amen? Now, but I didn't say to you, I said, do you want it to be a great year? Well, if you believe, and you should, that you were created by God, that you were created for God, and that God created you for his pleasure, everything will change. Everything will change. Now listen very carefully. I'm a strange individual. I know I am. I mean, I'm just a weird person in a lot of ways. But you too. You're weird too. We're all weird, okay? But listen to me now. Clutter is chaos. Say that with me. Clutter is chaos. Now listen, clutter is hard, but chaos is hard. You have to choose your heart. Do you understand? See, now personally, I have a lot of ticks or whatever you want to call it, failures. I don't know what you call it, anything you want. But you know what? I cannot work in clutter. My office has to be clean. And you know, I work in a laundry room at home. And you know how women hang stuff all over? No, I come and I know, I can't do this. Get this clutter. I fold it and move it, you know, whatever. Don't iron it, but I get rid of it. But everything has to have its place for me. That's just the way I am. But that's not a bad thing. Because see, God is the same way. There's no confusion or clutter with God. Do you understand that? No, loved one, listen to me. Everything has its place with God. Everything is put exactly where. God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't have a bunch of clutter. Oh, I've got this all fall over here. What am I going to do? No. God doesn't do that. There's no chaos in heaven. Listen, God does something. He does something with our body, the body of Christ. Listen to 1 Corinthians 12:18. God has set each member, each one of us, in the body of Christ, as he pleased, meaning he knows exactly where you fit. And if you're over here, now you're chaos. Do you understand? You're not in the right place. And so in Ephesians 4:16, it says that in the body of Christ, every part does its share. All of us are working in the body. In other words, do you want your left lung to quit working? No, you want everything in your body to be working. Amen? Come on. Okay, so it says every part does its share. So in the body of Christ, if it doesn't, everyone doesn't do their share, guess what? You're out of control. You're not in control. The body of Christ is out of control. Meaning what? We are now a dysfunctional body. That part of my body is now dysfunctional. It's not working properly. Now, what in the world must we do in 2026? Well, I'm going to give you two words that are very unpopular. I'm going to give you two words that people do not, in the church, they don't like. One of them, women can't stand. No offense, women. And that is the word submit. Come on. This is a happy Sunday. So the word submit and the other word that's very unpopular, especially with men, surrender. I don't surrender to anybody, you know. You know, that John Wayne, you know. I mean, you know, no, listen to me. very unpopular words. You must submit yourself to God's will. You must surrender your life to God's plan and God's purpose for your life in 2026. Now listen to me. Listen to me now. If you do, I love you, but if you do not surrender to God, if you don't surrender to Christ, you are going to surrender to chaos. That's what's going to happen. You need to choose your heart right now. Which one do you want? Do you want to surrender to Christ, or do you want to surrender to chaos in your life? Boy, I tell you, I don't want chaos in my life. I don't want clutter in my life. Now listen, why would I want God's will? Because God's will is the final power in the entire universe, and only God's will always stand. Amen? Oh, loved one, listen. Who is in control? You or your Creator? Now, here's what I've learned about control. I mean, I'm old enough now to have learned a few things. And you know what's sad? You get to the end of your years of life, and you wish you could go back because you could live it better. Does that make sense? Because life is a learning process. But loved one, listen to me. Control, I don't know if you know this or not, but control is an illusion. What are we in control of? You know, I mean, control is an illusion. You know, we want to decide what's best for our life, but we don't know what's best for our life. He does. Does that make sense? See, we think that being in control will make our life so much better. I'm in control. I'm running everything. And my life is going to be so much better. That's bull. That's Texas talk. Okay? That's bull, man. No. Listen, we think that having control will give us peace and security and comfort and safety when all those things only come from one person, the God who is in control. Amen? Yeah, we have to understand that. Is your marriage in control? Remember earlier, what did I say about divorce and marriage? You know, marriage is hard, divorce is hard. Right? Choose your heart. Okay? Well, is your marriage out of control? If it is, loved one, listen to me now. You need to ask yourself, who is in control of your marriage? You are the Creator, the one who created marriage, the one who created male and female. Amen? He knows more about marriage and what marriage should be than anyone else. So if you are having chaos and clutter and all kinds of junk in your marriage and your life, you need to find out who's in control. Is it you or is it Almighty God? Control is an illusion. Why? Because God is in control. You're not in control. I'm not in control. Are you in control of tomorrow? Do you know one thing in this world's going to happen tomorrow? Well, I'm going to go to work, maybe. You know, well, maybe, but maybe you won't. No, see, you can plan tomorrow, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you can't control, you can't put into your plans to control tomorrow. Does that make sense? Turn in your Bible, hold your place in Revelation, and turn to James chapter 4, verse 13. James chapter 4, verse 13. James, the half-brother of the Lord, he says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow. Watch this, watch what he does. We will go to such and such a city, spend a year there. We will buy, we will sell, we will make a profit. Man, did they have it all down? I mean, boy, they had everything under their control, but they were planning tomorrow without God, okay? Today, tomorrow, next year, I'm going to tell you, those are big words. Time is precious. And loved one, you cannot control time. You cannot speed up time. You can't slow down time. The only thing you can do is manage time. Amen? And time goes quickly. Look at verse 14. And what does he say? He says, okay, whereas you do not know, that means you don't know the least thing about tomorrow or the future. You do not know what will happen tomorrow. You don't have control over tomorrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor or just a puff of smoke that appears for just a little time. It's just here, we're here today, we're gone tomorrow. And then it vanishes away. What is your life? What is it right now? Loved one, it says here, well, it's short. So, do you want to be in control? Are you in control of your life? Let me just ask you this. Well, how well is that working out for you? No, really. How well is that working? You got it down? I mean, how is that working out? Listen, to be in the will of God, to be in the will of God means that you are living and walking and stepping into the perfect sphere of God's will for your life. So you have to ask yourself, do you want chaos or control, meaning God's control? Choose which one you want. Now, he says in verse 15, instead, you ought to say, here it is, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Now, look what James says. But now you brag or you boast in your arrogance, meaning you are boasting in things that you are not able to ever do. You can't control tomorrow what happens tomorrow. Do you understand? God is in control, not us. And he says, all such boasting is evil. He didn't say it was bad. He didn't say it was less than ideal. Loved one, he said, it is evil. It's wicked. Why? You don't know tomorrow. You are not in control of your tomorrow. I'll tell you where you are. I can tell you where you are every day of your life. You are inscribed in the hands of the living God. Amen? That's where you are. And nothing can take you out of that. So I can say, I know that. I don't know where you're running all over that hand, but you're in it, all right? Yeah, and so listen, that's so important. He says now, therefore, to him who knows to do good, in other words, to do this, and doesn't do it, well, to him, it is sin. Listen, we live in a world that is out of control. It's so nice to try to control things sometimes. It just wears you out. You know, but we live in a world that's out of control because fallen man is born out of control. Amen. You don't believe me? Start raising kids. No. See, here's what's wrong with control. Control says you can hold your little world together. Well, try that when you take away your teen's iPhone, okay? See how well we live in a world of out of control people. And I'm not saying that critically. We have every disorder imaginable in our society, don't we? You know, you it's hard to even control your tongue. James 3:8. No man can tame or control the tongue. Oh, loved one, listen, we are not in control. That's why when we are born again and the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts, then there is a fruit of the Spirit that is there that we desperately need, and it's called self-control. Amen? Now we can start living because we don't need to be in control, but we definitely need to have self-control. All right? And so that's very, very important. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 25, 28, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Now listen, you must surrender. I say this in love. You must surrender. I must surrender, you know, to God's plan for our lives in 2026. Or you will surrender to chaos. See, to surrender, it means this, letting go of false control. Letting it go. Just let it go. Let go of false certainty. There's nothing certain in this life. Don't trust in uncertain riches, but the certain God, it says in Timothy. Amen? He's certain. No, listen, surrender. You will never surrender to God unless you trust God. Trust him. He loves you. Listen, he sent his son to die for us. Amen? I think you can trust God. Why? Because God is in control. It says in Hebrews 10:38, God says himself, he says, the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, meaning draws back from faith, not believing him, he says, God says, my soul doesn't have any pleasure in that individual. It doesn't say he doesn't love you. He says, I don't have any pleasure in you. Now listen, we surrender to God by placing his will above our will. Does that make sense? And it's what we do. Now listen, I'm going to say something quickly. I want to make sure I read it just the way I put it down last night. You have power right now. You have power to surrender to God's plan and to do God's will. Right now, did you know that? Oh, that's incredible grace. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Philippians 2:12. Paul's writing the church at Philippi. He's writing from prison. Now look at Paul for a minute. Remember when Paul was in prison? Did he say these chains are in Rome or these chains are in Christ? In Christ. Oh, he says, I'm in the will of God. Now, he says, therefore, my beloved, you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Here it comes. It says, work for. No, it says work out, not work for. work out. Let me stop right there. That word in the Greek means to bring to full completion. It's a picture of a mathematical problem. 2 + 2 = Did you not know? No. Okay, did we bring the math problem to its ultimate conclusion? Okay, that's what this word here means. Work out, and look what we're to bring to the ultimate conclusion. Work out your own salvation. That's sanctification. That's going from glory to glory to glory by the power of the Holy Spirit. Work out your own salvation. How? With fear and trembling. Why? Here it comes. For it is God who works or constantly works in you. Now that's a different word. Works is different from verse 12. Here it means energize. That is divine enablement. That is the power of another, the power, divine power of God. So, for it is God who works in you. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, he who began a good work in you will complete it till the very day of redemption. Amen? God is working in you. He's working in you right now. You are a good work. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness because he's given us his divine nature, loved one. We're partakers of his divine nature. So he says, for it is God who works in you to what? Both to will and to do. What is those last words? For his good pleasure. Don't you love that? Not your pleasure, his pleasure. His pleasure. Phillips translation. For it is God who has worked within you, giving you the will, giving you the power to achieve his purpose. So God gives us the supernatural ability of things that we cannot do. Praise God. Now that's control. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Amen? Man, and I think, praise the Lord. So surrender, loved one, surrender to God's will, surrender to the Lord is a deliberate choice on your part. It's your choice. You want God? Or you want this? You want to serve God or you want to serve the devil? You follow me? Choose your heart. Man, that's the way it is. Oh, listen, here's surrender. After you study out the incredible book of Romans, Paul teaches for 11 chapters before he asks us to do one thing. And when we get to chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he tells us, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as living sacrifices, or offer your bodies as a priestly term, offer your bodies as living sacrifices unto God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and perfect in the will of God. Amen? Now, that's surrender. It's no longer about me. It's about the one who created me to do his bidding and to do his will. Here's surrender. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he shall direct your paths. Amen? So God is working in you. And go to verse 14 now and look at it. So since God is working in you, do, it's a command right here, do all things is a command. Do all things without what? Complaining or murmuring and disputing. That means arguing. Arguing with who? With God. What does he mean with God? Do all things without complaining and disputing. Why? In context, this is talking about arguing with God with everything connected to your salvation as you're working it out. He says here, do all things without complaining, disputing. Why? That you may become, or literally prove or show yourselves, blameless, the real thing, harmless, that's innocent, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse what? Generation, a twisted world that we live in, among whom you shine as lights in the world and holding fast to the word of life. Now, should the light of the world, should the salt of the earth, the city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hidden, should we be complaining to God about saving us and how he's working out our salvation? But how many do? They start complaining to God. Now listen to me. I'm not unhappy that God chose me. He doesn't lose those he chooses. Do you understand that? That you're here for a purpose. Now listen, we have the greatest example in the universe about surrender. Jesus chose surrender over control. Chaos or control, which one do you want? Chaos is hard. Control is hard. Choose your heart. Jesus did. Let me read it to you. Matthew 26, 36. Jesus is now, and the disciples are with him. He's entered into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And Jesus came to the place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful. That word sorrowful, my explanation of that word in the Greek I can't even give you the sense of what it means. I do know it means the sense of horror that we don't know about. So it says, he began to be sorrowful, deeply distressed, and he said to them, meaning his disciples, he says, my soul, that's Jesus' human side, okay? He's a God-man. He says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. He says, I feel like I'm about to die. See, Jesus' only desire was to get to the cross. Did you know that? To die for you and me. And he says, oh, stay here and watch with me. He said, he went a little further and Jesus fell on his face and he prayed saying, oh, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing. The flesh is weak. And again, the second time, Jesus went away and he prayed saying, oh, Father, he says, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. What was the cup? What was the cup? It was the sin of all mankind, wasn't it? It was going to be, when he goes to the cross, it was going to be separation from God because he died as you. He died as a sinner, even though he had never sinned. Does that make sense? Then he came and he found him asleep. And he said the third time, he prayed the same thing for the third time. And he says, oh, Jesus, are you still sleeping? And he goes, behold, the hour is at hand. In other words, the purpose of why I was born, why I came into this world is at hand. And he said, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Now listen, the contest is now over here. It's over. Human will, was now entirely one with God's will. Does that make sense? Jesus is the God-man. Listen, he chose God's will against his own. The Bible says in John 4:34, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. John 6:38, I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but my own will, the will of him who sent me. Loved one, listen to me now. 1 John 2:6, if we say we abide in him, we also ought to walk even as he walked. Amen? Okay, how did he walk? He wanted to please the Father. Everything he did, he pleased the Father. You see, we are not our own. We are a purchased possession. It's either your will or God's will. You're in control or either God is in control. And you have to make that decision. Jesus chose surrender over control. Which one will you choose? See, now, You're in control now because you've been presented with it for this year. Which one will you choose? I'm going to tell you something. Now listen carefully. If you don't surrender to God or God's will to Christ, you will surrender to chaos in your life because that means you're out of the will of God. But when you step into the will of God, there's the power of God. Do you understand? See, that's why I love never fails. Listen, I won't fight. I won't argue. I won't accuse. I won't judge. I'm just going to love because I know that love fulfills the law. I know that to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Matthew 7, 12. Amen? When you do that, you are walking now in the power of God. You know, I don't allow arguing. I hate arguing. It's of the devil. But a soft answer is God's will. A soft answer turns away wrath. Are you following me? See, if you want to be in control, get in God's control. Now you're in the will of God. Now you're in the power of God. William Booth said this. He said, the greatness of a man's power is in the measure of his surrender. His surrender. Man.
Pastor's Revelation series will continue tomorrow, and we encourage you to tune in once again. Thanks, everyone, for spending some of your day with us. God bless, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.